We've been going through our verse-by-verse preaching through the book of Ephesians, trying to understand what God is saying to us through his word here. Ephesians chapter 2, we're going to read some well-known verses today. Ephesians 2, verses 8, 9, and 10. Paul, writing through the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, says this, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." These are some well-known verses. Many Bible-believing Christians know these verses by heart. And we'll look this morning, what does Paul say about grace and works? Grace and works. Let's go to the Lord and ask him to bless the message this morning. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you, and Lord, we are grateful again, Lord, for being able to meet together and really learn from your word and to open it, Lord, and to seek your truth from it. And I pray, Father, this morning that you would speak to our hearts. I pray, Father, that as we've gathered together this morning and as we've set everything up and gotten everything ready, and then we worship you, Lord, in song, Lord, and then we worship you in our offerings, I pray, Lord, that now we would take some time and clear our minds and clear our hearts, Lord, to hear from your word, to have a better understanding of your word, Lord, and to worship you, Lord, through believing what you say here in your word. I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand it, Lord, as Paul prayed for the Ephesians, that they would have a better understanding, that you would give them the spirit of wisdom and revelation in knowledge. I pray, Lord, that you would give us knowledge this morning, that you would give us, Lord, this spirit of revelation to understand what you're saying to us in your word. And I pray, Father, that we would be able to go out of here saying it's been good to be in the house of the Lord. And Lord, we just pray that you would be magnified and glorified by all that's said and done here today. And we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, as I said already, Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10 are well-known verses. Bible-believing Christians, we often quote these verses when we talk about people who think they're getting to heaven by works. And this passage really highlights the role of grace, the role of the grace of God in our salvation. And that's really what's highlighted by this text, the role of the grace of God. However, Paul also uses these three verses to introduce a false doctrine that has existed almost since time began. Almost since the beginning of time, there has been a dispute about whether salvation is by works or by grace. And Paul introduces that here into this text. It was promoted in the Old Testament, this false doctrine was. Paul constantly fought against it in his day. Many of his writings had to do with making sure the gospel was preached properly. And we still fight against it today. We still fight against it today. We still fight against people who say you can get to work or you can get to heaven just by your works, by being a good person, because the Bible does not say that. Now, the issue that Paul introduces is, as I said, is whether salvation is by grace or by works. Does a person receive salvation by faith in Jesus Christ? Or does a person receive salvation by earning it, by doing good works? This is the issue that Paul introduces here in this passage today. Paul uses his discussion of God's grace as an opportunity to dive right into this issue and to proclaim the truth. Paul uses his discussion of God's grace. If you remember, as we ended last week, he was talking about the grace of God and how the grace of God will be highlighted through showing us his kindness for all eternity. And Paul uses this as an opportunity to launch into this issue about works and grace. The point that Paul makes in these verses is that we are not saved by works. That's the point. That's part of the point, is that we are not saved by our works, but that we are saved to do good works. Our works have nothing to do with our salvation. But after salvation, we are saved to do good works. This morning, let's look at what Paul says about grace and our works. What does Paul say about grace and our works? Go back to Ephesians 2:8. Look at the first part of Ephesians 2:8. Paul says this, For by grace are ye saved through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith. The first thing we see here is Paul highlights God's saving grace. God's saving grace. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, in our previous passage, Paul talked about God's grace. We already mentioned it a little bit, but he said, this is exactly what he says in verse number 7. He says that in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. He was saying that God is rich in grace and that he will show that grace to us forever. The ages to come, that's eternity. He's going to show that grace to us forever in his kindness through Jesus Christ. And then Paul says this in verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. Now, this word for here is a connector word. It's an indicator that there's going to be some explanation to follow. We might say because or something along those lines. There's going to be some explanation to follow. And he says, for by grace are you saved through faith. Paul is saying this. The reason we are going to be the recipients of God's grace for eternity is because by God's grace, we are saved through faith in Jesus Christ. The only reason that we will have the privilege of being the recipients of grace for eternity is because God, by his grace, offered us salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the only reason. For by grace are you saved through faith. Now, grace is the idea, I mentioned it last week, but grace is the idea that we get something that we do not deserve. Getting something that you do not deserve. Mercy is not getting what you do deserve. Mercy would be you murder someone, you deserve the death penalty, but we're going to give you life in prison. That's mercy. Grace, however, is getting something that you do not deserve. Getting something that you do not deserve. Jesus said it like this in the Sermon on the Mount. He said this, do good to those who hate you. Do good to those who hate you. That's mercy. Does someone who hates you, do they deserve for you to do good works to them? No. But it's grace. It's grace for you to do good to those who hate you. Maybe a modern day application with this, and this is a very simplistic application on a carnal level. That person that you work with who hates your guts, who every time they have an opportunity, they talk bad about you behind their back or behind your back, what you should do, buy them a cup of coffee. Do something good to them. Be good to them. Do something helpful to them. The Bible says it'll be like heaping coals upon their head. That is grace. Giving someone something that they do not deserve. Now, applied to us in a spiritual sense, it means that we have a home in heaven when really what we deserve is an eternity in hell. That's what grace means. We have a home in heaven when really what we deserve is an eternity in hell. Go back in Ephesians chapter 2, go back to verses 2 and 3. Paul reminds us what we were before we were saved. He says this, wherein in times past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past, and the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. He says, before you were saved, you went around, you followed the course of this world, you were influenced by the prince of the power of the air, that is Satan. You went around fulfilling the lusts of your flesh, fulfilling the desires of your flesh, and you were the children of disobedience, and you were the children of wrath. Now here's my question. Does that sound like someone who deserves to go to heaven? No, it doesn't. And that is grace. Because that's how we were, and God saved us. And now we have a home in heaven. That's the application, that is the spiritual application of us, or to us, of grace. We were undeserving. We were separated from God. We were children of disobedience. We were children of wrath. We were spiritually dead. And we were as undeserving of heaven as it was possible to get. That is the message of the scriptures. And yet, God gave us something that we did not deserve. In His grace, He extended an offer to us of salvation. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. That is the offer of grace. God reached down His hand and gave us the opportunity to be saved. That is God's saving grace. Paul tells us how do we accept this grace. How does he say you accept this grace? For by grace are you saved through faith. The way you accept this grace that God extends to you is by faith. That's how you accept it. By faith in what? By faith in Jesus Christ. We accept this gift of eternal life by putting our faith in His Son. We talked about grace. Grace, some people say, describe it like this. God's riches at Christ's expense. God's riches at Christ's expense. What is grace? Grace is the fact that you and I have the opportunity to avail ourselves of God's riches through the fact that Christ went to the cross. We receive God's riches at Christ's expense. We receive God's riches because Christ went to the cross for us. We become heirs to the riches of God through Christ. The Word of God tells us that we will be the eternal recipients of God's kindness through Christ, because by God's grace, we were saved through our faith in Christ. It's by God's grace that you're saved through your faith in Christ. It could be, or it could have been, what if faith in Christ was not enough? What if faith in Christ was, what if we put our faith in Christ and that still wasn't good enough? But by God's grace, that is all it takes. By God's grace, that's all it takes. By God's grace, it's not faith in Christ and works. Because then we could never do it. We could never achieve it. By God's grace, it's simply faith in Jesus Christ. That is the grace of God, that He does all the work and we get all the benefit. He did everything required and we get all the benefit. That is the grace of God. That is God's saving grace to us. We were undeserving, but God reached down and made us the offer of grace. And so we see, first of all, the saving grace of God. And then we see this. We see our inadequate works. Our inadequate works. He says this in verse 8. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. We see our inadequate works. He says our works are completely and wholly inadequate for salvation. There's nothing that we can do of ourselves to earn our way to heaven. Paul reminds us here that we are not saved by our works. Not only we're not saved by our works, and we do not receive the grace of God by our works. There's nothing that we can do that we can make ourselves meritorious enough, attractive enough, that God would extend His grace to us. It's wholly by His grace. Okay? And so Paul says here, our works are totally inadequate. Now, there's a lot of controversy about what the second half of verse 8 and verse 9 mean. What's it referring to? It says this, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The gift that Paul is speaking of here is the gift of salvation. What is the gift that he's offering? The gift of salvation. What is not of yourselves? Salvation is not of yourselves. What is the gift of God? Salvation is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. It's clear from reading these portions of Scripture, these two parts of these two verses, that they go together as one unit. They go together as one. He says, in that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. These two portions of these two verses go together. They're meant as one thought, okay? Paul is not speaking about two different topics here. One interpretation is this, that the gift is faith. That is not the gift. The gift is not faith. The gift is salvation. Okay, the gift is salvation. The two things go together. Paul's not speaking of two different topics here. He's not saying that faith is a gift and salvation is not by works. No, it's a unified statement. Neither is Paul saying that faith is a gift from God and faith is not by works. That's not what Paul is saying either. The issue addressed here is this, whether salvation is by works. That's the whole context of these three verses. Whether salvation is by works. That's the whole context, okay? And Paul is speaking about opposing viewpoints of the same issue. Opposing viewpoints of the same issue. Is it a gift or do you have to work for it? Is it by grace and faith or do you have to work for salvation? One of the unifying topics throughout many of Paul's writings is a defense of the gospel, and I've already mentioned that. Over and over and over, Paul defends the gospel. One of the first books that I preached through here at the church was the book of Galatians. It was the book of Galatians, the case for grace. And Paul in the book of Galatians is fighting against these Jewish teachers that are coming in and telling people, you must keep the law. You cannot be saved if you do not keep the law. And Paul is saying, no, it is not by works. It is not by the law. It is completely by grace. It is completely by faith in Jesus Christ. And Paul is fighting this topic. We looked at it when I preached through Titus. I think it was last year I preached through Titus. And we looked at it there. And Paul says, look, these people that are come in and preaching false gospel, their mouths must be stopped, he says. And so over and over, Paul has to defend the gospel. He's constantly defending it against those who say you can work your way to heaven. He is constantly reminding the first century church that salvation is a free gift and not by works. So why all of a sudden would the message change from salvation is the gift to faith is the gift? It wouldn't, because the message stays the same. Salvation is the gift. Salvation is the gift of God. Faith is not the gift. Romans 6:23 makes it very clear. Go in your Bibles to the book of Romans. Romans 6:23 makes it very clear. He says this, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So what is the gift that we as believers receive from God? The gift is salvation. The gift of God is eternal life. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul very clearly points that out. He makes it very clear. Faith is not some mysterious gift. Go in your Bibles to Romans 10. Romans 10. Paul makes it very clear that salvation is the gift. And he also makes it very clear that faith is not some mysterious gift that God only gives to certain people. Faith is the natural outgrowth of the proper response to God's word. That is what faith is. Romans chapter 10, let's start in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So Paul lays out there just a case for salvation. Who can be saved? Anybody who's willing to submit themselves and call upon the name of the Lord, they can be saved. And then he gives a series of questions here to make us consider how to reach those people. He says, how then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. He says, how are people going to call on a name they've never heard anything about? Okay, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How can they call on someone they've never believed in? How can they call on someone they've never heard about? And how can they hear about the person unless someone goes to tell them? Okay, how can they hear about them? How shall they hear about them without a preacher? How can they hear about that person unless someone goes to tell them? And how can that preacher go, he says, except they be sent? How shall he preach? How shall they preach except they be sent? And so he gives us this rationale about going out and sharing the gospel with people, sending forth church planters to plant churches. And then he continues on and says this, but they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? And then he makes this statement. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. How do we get faith? By hearing the word of God. Now, you have to understand what the biblical concept of hearing is. It's not just sitting in the chair and hearing the sound. That's not the biblical concept. It's not just like listening to music. The biblical concept of hearing is to listen and then obey. That is the biblical concept of hearing. In the Old Testament, when God would tell the children of Israel, "Hear me," he didn't mean just listen to what I say. No, he means listen and then do it. That is the biblical concept of hearing. So how do we get faith? We listen to what the Bible says, and then we say, "Yes, Lord, I believe that. I will accept that. I will trust that. I will apply that to my life." That's how we receive and grow our faith. That's how we put our faith in God. We say, "Yes, God, I believe that. I will trust in that. I will follow that." Okay? Faith is not some mysterious gift that God only gives to certain people who he wants to be saved. Faith is the natural result of our proper response to the preaching of God's word. That is where faith comes from, okay? And so Paul says, look, Paul says the gift is salvation. The gift is salvation. The gift is not faith. The gift is salvation, okay? And so Paul is saying here, look, salvation is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Salvation is not of yourselves. I can't earn my own way to heaven, and neither can you. Salvation is not of ourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Paul is trying to make the point here that salvation has nothing to do with your works. One of the greatest logical arguments is this. If you could earn your way to heaven, you would get to heaven and you would boast about it. Look what I did. Look what I accomplished. I'm the first one in my family to earn my way to heaven. Look what I accomplished. He said you would get there and you would boast. You would do the same thing in heaven that you do here on earth. What do we, the mankind's natural state is to do it his own way. You guys know Frank Sinatra, "I did it my way." And that's a famous American song, "I did it my way." And the natural state of man is to try to do it my own way. I don't care what God says, I'm going to do it my way. And Paul says, if your salvation was based on works, you would get to heaven and you would boast and you would say, "I did it my way. I did it my way." But he said, that's why it's not of works. It's by grace. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. You know some of these verses, but the Bible says quite a bit about this, actually. Isaiah 64:6 says this, "But we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities like the wind have taken us away." He says this, all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Any good thing that I can do, any good thing that you can do, compared to the holiness and righteousness of God, is like a filthy rag. Well, I remember as a kid, I don't even know if they allow you to do this anymore. I remember as a kid, we used to change our own oil in the car and in the truck. My dad would drive it up on the ramps, and you would change the oil in the car. You'd take the little screw out of the oil pan, and it would drip out. And hopefully, you'd remember to replace it, and then you'd put the oil in so it didn't burn up the motor. But you'd always have to have a rag, because when you took that screw out of the oil pan, that nasty oil would run all down your arm. And you'd have to have a rag so you could clean your hands up. And the Bible says that our righteousness is like that nasty old rag that you use to clean up just whatever. Our righteousness is compared to God's righteousness. The good works that we can do compared to God's righteousness is like a filthy rag. It's worthless. It's no good. It's not something you want to hang on to and keep. It's not something you want to fold up and put in your pocket. Okay? Our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. Romans 11:5 says this, speaking of salvation, "And if by grace, then it is no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, then it is no more grace. Otherwise, it is no more work." Say, well, what does that mean? Paul is simply saying in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, he says, look, if salvation is by grace, it cannot be by works. If it's just a free offer, if it's giving you something that you do not deserve, it cannot be by works. Because if it was by works, it wouldn't be grace. And he says, if it's by works, if it's something you have to earn, then it's not a free gift. It's not something that you just receive. It's something that you had to earn. And then it would be no more grace. He said, it's either all grace or it's all works. There's no in between. It's either all grace or it's all works. There's no middle ground here. Titus 3:5 says this, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. All those good things we like to do. And look, we'll see in a minute, after we get saved, we should have a desire to do good things. But all those good things we do are not earning our way to heaven. They're not going to get us there. All the, you know, last week, Brother Graham and I were out on the high street last week, and there was a lady who came and sat on the bench, right, where I was passing out tracts. She came and sat on the bench, and she sat there for a long time, and you could tell she was not feeling good. And after a few minutes, I'm passing out tracts, and she stands up and walks to me, and she says, can you call me an ambulance? I've got this terrible pain in my chest. I can't catch my breath. And so I get on my mobile phone, and I call an ambulance. That was a good thing to do. But guess what? It's not earning my way to heaven. Not by works of righteousness which we have done. A lot of people, you know, they give to charity. I give to this charity. I give to that charity. I try to help homeless people. I try to help people who are sick. And those are good things to do. But the Bible says, not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Nothing that we can do. Paul says this, look, our works are completely inadequate. He says, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Your salvation is not about works. Your salvation is by grace and by faith. And then finally, he says this in verse number 10, we are saved to good works. He says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We are saved to do good works. The problem with mankind is that we try to put the cart before the horse. Instead of saying, I need to do good works after I get saved to glorify God, we say, I need to do good works in order to be saved. We try to put the cart before the horse. And that's where we get messed up. Paul says, no, he says, we are saved to good works. We are saved to good works. Paul says, we are his workmanship in Christ Jesus. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus. The word workmanship is the word poiema. Poiema, it's a Greek word. It means something that is made. It's where we, and I don't get the connection, but it's where we get our word poem. You would write a poem. But poema means something that is made, something that is created. God created you anew when you were born again in Jesus Christ. We are his workmanship. We are his creation, okay? We are his creation created in Christ Jesus. When we know the Bible teaches that when you are born again, you're regenerated. You're made anew. And that's what he's talking about here. We are God's workmanship. We are his creation when we are born again in Christ Jesus. And you are a special creation made by him. Typically, when you create something, it is created for a purpose. An inventor does not create something just to leave it laying on the desk and serve no purpose. Usually something is created for a purpose. Something is created for a reason. Why are we God's workmanship? Why did he create us again? Why are we created anew? And Paul tells us why we are created again. He tells us why we're his workmanship. Created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're created to do good works. Okay? Which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God hath before ordained that we should walk in him. Walk in them. God recreated us in Jesus Christ that we would perform good works. God has ordained that now, once we are saved, that we would do good works in contrast to the wicked works we used to do. We've already looked at Ephesians 2, verses 2 and 3, and the wicked works we used to do. He said, now, in contrast, you're to do good works. And he's created us for this specific purpose, because by our good works as Christians, we bring glory to Him. By our good works, we bring glory to Him. Jesus put it this way in Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. As a Christian, when you do something good, when you do a good work, who should receive the glory? God should receive the glory. You should not keep it for yourself. You shouldn't say, yeah, it was all me. I had this great idea. I want to do something nice for you. No. Praise the Lord. Did it for God's glory. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. 2 Peter chapter 2. 2 Peter chapter 2. Peter writes in verses 11 and 12 and says this. That's not 2 Peter chapter 2. Maybe it's 1 Peter chapter 2. Yeah, it's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11 and 12. He says this, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims. He's speaking to believers here. He says, you're strangers and pilgrims. You do not belong on the earth. That's not your eternal home anymore. That's not where you belong. You don't fit in there anymore. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. Having your conversation, that's your behavior, honest. Having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. He says, look, abstain from these bad things. Don't do these bad things anymore. You don't fit in on the earth anymore. You're a new creature. You're a new creation. Don't do these bad things anymore. People will speak bad of you, but then when they see your good works, let them glorify God, which is in heaven. He says, your good works should bring glory to God. They should bring glory to God. And then Paul says this, he's before ordained that we should do them. He's before ordained. The meaning here is God has purposed beforehand. God has purposed beforehand that we should walk in these things. Now, we know there are some things, because we've already talked about them in this book. There are some things that God has purposed beforehand for us. When you became a believer, it was purposed beforehand that you would be adopted as a child of God. When you became a believer, it was purposed beforehand that you would be conformed to the image of Christ. And when you became a believer, it was purposed beforehand that you would do good works. That is God's will for your life. That is God. That's what God is trying to do in your life and in your heart. He has foreordained that every Christian should walk in good works. After God has done His work in giving you life after death, He desires now to work through you. Once He's done a work in you, He now wants to do a work through you. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and 17 say this, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. It says all Scripture. All Scripture applies to us in some way. And for what purposes? Okay. For doctrine, for reproof, for correction, and for instruction. Those are the reasons we have it. And then what should those things manifest in us? That the man of God may be perfect, meaning mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. All those things should work together to provide the right environment in your life to encourage you to do good works, thoroughly furnished unto good works, to give you every preparation you need to do good works, okay? And so Paul says, when you got saved, God ordained that you would do good works. Accordingly, every Christian should desire to do good to other people. If you claim to be a Christian this morning and you have no desire to be helpful to other people, if you claim to be a Christian and you have no desire to be helpful to other people, then there's either one of two things. Either one, you're backslidden and you need to repent and get your heart right, or number two, you're not really saved. Those are the two options. If you claim to be a born-again Christian this morning and don't have no desire to do good works to other people, and instead are only just grouchy and grumpy all the time, and only want to see people suffer and get what they deserve, then either you need to repent and get your heart right, or you're not really born again. That's what it means. That's what he's saying here. That the natural result of salvation is that we would have a desire. God has ordained that we would have a desire to do these good works. Paul is essentially saying the same thing that James says later in the New Testament. A faith without works is really a dead faith. A faith without works is really a dead faith. A faith without a desire to do good works to other people is more likely a counterfeit faith. It's not even real. If you don't have a desire to be good and do good to other people, your faith is probably not even real to start with. Paul says, look, God has saved you to do good works. Saved to good works. The point Paul makes in these verses is that we are not saved by works, but we are saved to do good works. We are not saved by works, but we are saved to do good works. Almost since the beginning of human existence, there's been a struggle between works and faith. All the way back in the book of Genesis, and we won't turn there, but in Genesis chapter 4, just after the Garden of Eden, two brothers came to make a sacrifice that God commanded. Two brothers brought their sacrifice, and one brother did the sacrifice the way God commanded it, and the other brother did the sacrifice his own way. He brought the fruits of his own hands, the fruits of his own labors, and he brought them and he offered them to the Lord, and God rejected it. Almost since the beginning of time, people have been fighting, our works, or is salvation by faith, or is it by works? Almost since the beginning of time, people have been trying to do works to earn their righteousness before God. It's a fight that's been going on almost since the beginning of time. We've been trying to create our own way to get to God through good works. In today's text, Paul clears it up for all of us. He explains that salvation is by God's grace through faith in Jesus Christ. Your works have nothing to do with it. My works have nothing to do with it. The only time our good works come into play is after salvation. And then they're not even really for our benefit. They're for God's glory. It's not for my glory. It's for God's glory. Historically, and here's the issue, I think, for us. Historically, churches like ours have tried to be very, very strong on the gospel and very, very clear on the gospel. We've tried to take a very clear stand that salvation is by faith alone, not by works. You don't get to heaven by being a good person. You don't get to heaven by doing good works. And we've tried to be very clear on that. And we've strongly rejected unbiblical gospel. We've taken a strong stand on that over the years. But the flip side of the coin is this, that we often go too far and minimalize all good works, even after salvation. We say, oh no, salvation is only by works. And we totally minimalize all good works. We say, we don't want to have anything to do with that social gospel stuff. We don't want to have anything to do with doing those good works. Salvation is by grace through faith. And that's true. And it is. Salvation is by grace through faith. But then after we're saved to do good works. And so we should have a desire to do good works among the people in our community. God makes it abundantly clear over and over that we are saved to do works that glorify Him. We should not fear to do good works if we keep them in the proper context. We should use those good works as an opportunity to glorify God. We should use those good works as an opportunity to share the gospel with people, as a means to an end. The problem is when the good works become an end in themselves, when it's all about just doing the good works. No, we should use them as an opportunity to share the gospel. Maybe you're here today and maybe you would say, well, I thought getting to heaven was all about being a good person. I thought that, you know, I was going to die and then God was going to open up the books and he's going to put all my good works on one side and all my bad works on the other side and we were going to see what the scales say. No, that's not what the Bible says. It's not about being a good person. The Bible says if that were the case, then you'd be able to boast when you got to heaven. The Bible says this, the first step of understanding the gospel is admitting that you're a sinner. That's the first step. And the second step is this. The second step is understanding that you cannot work your way to God. And that's the hard part. Because many of us were told for decades, many of us were in churches for decades that said, oh, yeah, be a good person. It's all about doing the sacraments. It's all about doing these things. That's how you get to heaven. And it's hard to say, I've been wrong for 25, 30 years. I've been wrong my whole life. I misunderstood my whole life. But the Bible says it's not about our works. The first step is understanding you're a sinner. And look, a lot of people are happy to say that. There's hardly anybody you'll say to them, are you a sinner? Oh, no, I'm. There's a few, but most people will admit they're a sinner. But then when it comes to admitting that you've really had the whole thing wrong about how you're saved, that's where a lot of people start to choke up. A lot of people start to have problems. They don't want to admit that they've been wrong their whole life. But when we admit that we're separated from God and we turn to Christ in faith and accept what he's done for us on the cross, that's when we truly become Christians. Paul says, look here. Paul says, look, number one, he said, you're saved by God's grace. It's by God's saving grace that you're saved. Number two, our works are wholly inadequate. And number three, we are saved to God's to good works. In this passage, Paul lays out for us grace and works and tries to help us understand the difference between the two, grace and works. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Father in heaven, Lord, we do love you. Lord, I thank you for the day that we've had together. Lord, I thank you for the attention of your people and how they've listened intently, Lord, through the service today. And I pray, Father, that you would help us to understand these things.